message upon our hearts that far above me. Everything in the book is, but this subject is higher than them all. We feel burdened and led of the Lord to speak on the subject of the cross. And you pray that God would help us as his people to be reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All of the messages that we've heard have been tremendous blessings, encouragements. And all the things we've heard about problems and things that Brother Duval just preached, you can almost trace them all back to one thing. We've lost our love for Jesus. Or we tell ourselves we love him, but we've lost comprehension of his great sacrifice. So may we as God's people pray, and pray for those who are lost here today.
Amen.
That God would take this message and, through the power of his Spirit, help them to see the sacrifice. Began doing some study and some reading. I got encyclopedias and Bible commentaries and Bible programs, and I began to look and think about the cross. In the Greek, it comes from the word storos, S-T-O-W-R-O-S. And they tell me that in the English language, the word cross is derived from the Latin crux, C-R-U-X. I looked up the definition. I looked in several sources, and the definition was always the same. Definition of a cross is an upright pail or stake, sometimes pointed. An upright pail or stake. Just a long hunk of wood put down on the ground. And what it really derived from was sacrifices that were made to false gods. And offerings were made to false gods by nailing people or lifting them up and just letting them impale themselves on these stakes. If you study it out, you'll find that the Greeks and the Romans didn't originate crucifixion. In fact, from what I've been able to read and comprehend, is they more or less borrowed it or adopted it from the Phoenicians, who sacrificed to Baal by nailing or impaling folks on crosses. I was surprised when I started studying the tradition of our traditional cross. And again, what I'm able to gather in my readings is that it basically originated with the area of Chaldea. And they had a god, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher this and pronounce it wrong, but they had a god by the name of Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z. And they used to sacrifice to this god, and their cross was a great big capital T in honor of that god. And what I've been able to find out is our cross, as we know it and call it, derived through that line. Was changed and altered over the course of time to where it left the form of the capital T down to a smaller T. How did the cross, as it is accepted today, get into our churches? Well, they tell us that around the 3rd century, a lot of pagans and idolaters started being received into heretical churches. And when they came into these churches, they brought a lot of their idolatry, and they brought a lot of their symbols, and they brought a lot of their filth into these heretical churches. And it wiggled its way in that way. It is believed that Constantine was the first to ever use the cross as an ensign. You all know the story of how he had a vision or a dream where he would receive or accomplish great victories under the sign of a cross. And so he made this an ensign. And that's really one of the first places we can find it being used as loosely termed a religious symbol. During Constantine's time, he had the symbol of the cross put on coins. Sometimes his picture, I guess. Other times, some type of picture of Christ on the other side. It was placed on buildings, and it was placed on public places. And once again, it kept weaving its way and wiggling its way into our traditions. From what I've been able to find out about the 6th century, they put a body on the cross. That's where we got the crucifixes. And they're still with us today. A lot of Baptists don't see anything wrong with those things. But there should be.
Amen, brother.
I read and found out that the St. Andrew's cross looked like a big X. And I've read some who have insisted that when Christ was crucified, it was that type of a cross. The more I read, the more I studied, the more I came to the conclusion that based upon all the information available, the cross itself is not a Christian symbol.
Amen.
Now down in Ohio, I haven't watched much TV up here, so I don't know if you have this commercial, but we got a jelly commercial or something. It's called All Fruit or something, and when the guy says, "Please pass the jelly," the lady goes, "Whew," you know, passes out. Some of you may have done that just now when I said the cross is not a Christian symbol. You might be sitting there saying, "Whew, how could he say that?" Well, if you said, "Whew," don't block me out. Stay with me. Because I believe if we're going to use the Bible as our final rule of faith and practice, you're going to come to the conclusion that the Bible reinforces that statement I just made. The cross is not a Christian symbol.
Amen.
Never was intended to be a Christian symbol.
Amen.
Thanks to the wickedness of society and the influences of Catholicism, everywhere you look in the religious world, you find crosses. But it's not found in Scripture.
Amen.
We ought not to get anything we believe simply because you look at it in dictionaries and encyclopedias. Folks, the Bible teaches us that same thing. And so we ought to accept it. Turn with me, first of all, to Philippians chapter 2. So much in religion and even in Baptist churches came to us by tradition. People ask, why do we do this? Why do we do that? And sometimes we don't have a shred of Scripture to hang it on. It's just always been that way. And when you talk about the cross and it being a religious symbol, that's based on tradition. I want to show you as we look to Scripture what the real emphasis is in this thing. Book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. It says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." I want you to notice this 8th verse. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross." Did your Bible say that? Verse 8 lays it out for us. Here's the facts. Jesus Christ came to the earth and he humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant and he became obedient unto the death of the cross. Not the cross. And if you'll study your Bibles out, you're going to find out that it's not a symbol. It's not a relic. It's not a hunk of wood. It's not a piece of gold. But what our emphasis should be upon is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to focus upon him and not upon some relic or some tradition. It's Jesus that's going to set folks saved, free from their sins. Folks, we have taken the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and we have sanitized it and we've made it pretty and we've made it acceptable, and by doing that I believe we've made the power of God of no effect, because it's not in the symbol but it's in the death of Jesus Christ that our emphasis should be upon. That old cross, whether it was an X or whether it was the traditional one or whether it was just a straight up stake in the ground, is irrelevant. It's what happened there that set me free from my sins. And if you go to the Old Testament, you can find old altars made out of rock, and you get into the tabernacle, you don't find any pretty little crosses, but what happened there with the blood is what it was all about. Christ became obedient, not to a cross. You ever seen I don't like to use the word stupid in the pulpit, but you ever seen these stupid movies where people fend off monsters and vampires with the sign of the cross, you know? A lot of times people have the idea that symbol or somehow kept Christ there. No. It was God's plan and purpose that kept him there. And his love for his people that kept him there. It was his sacrifice that atoned for our sins. That symbol had no magical power over him. Look over to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 12. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." Apostle Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what Paul gloried in? Not a symbol. All he preached was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Never a symbol, but the action there upon the cross. That's where his glory was. That's where he knew the power was. There's no power in a cross. A couple weeks ago, you could go about anywhere in our country and you could find some religious nut walking down the main street of their town carrying a cross. Thought they're doing some great Lenten or great Passover or great Good Friday event. All they did was make a mockery of what happened there. They're not preaching the gospel when they carry a wooden cross down Main Street. They're preaching the gospel when they talk about how Jesus died and gave himself, was buried, rose again for us. It's the preaching that people need today. never ceases to amaze me at the influence that Catholicism has in this world, but even in many of our traditions as Christians and Baptists. Folks, they weren't the true church. They were about 300 years too late. And we need to go to the Scripture when we get our beliefs and our convictions. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this lays it out as clear as it can be laid out. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I want you to notice verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross. Do some contextual reading. Do some reading where you compare Scripture with Scripture. Do some reading where you stay with the thought. Paul plainly says that God sent him to preach the gospel. And in verse 18, he said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So did Paul preach a symbol? He preached the gospel. As we study the New Testament, we find that phrase, the cross of Christ, it was never signifying a symbol. It was talking about His sacrifice. Amen. And God's grace in action. And Christ becoming sin for us. What's your trust in today? We got many people who will stick a cross on their lapel, who will stick a cross in their ears, will stick a cross on their necklaces, and think, well, now I'm a good Christian. I've identified myself. I've let the world know I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian if Christ didn't die for your sins. Amen. And you're on your way to hell if you plaster your life with crosses. Until you know what happened there and know that it happened for you, you're a sinner.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that we would see that the sacrifice of Christ is what it's all about.
Yes.
And not relics and not symbols.
Amen.
Oh, the precious blood,
yes, sir,
is where the power is found. As quickly as possible, we'd like to share with you some dangers. I believe, first of all, that there's a danger with the wearing of crosses.
Yes. Amen.
And I don't apologize for what I preach, but I apologize if there's someone here wearing jewelry or anything with a cross on it. I apologize for your being offended. Don't apologize for what the Bible says.
Amen.
I don't want to ever cause intentional offense and have people shut off what the Bible's really saying. So stay with me. Don't be offended. There's two reasons why the wearing of the cross is dangerous. First of all, it makes the cross common. Folks, what happened on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was not common. It was a one-time, earth-altering, eternal, consequenced event that's never been copied or mimicked or come close to since or ever will. It better not get too common to us. It ought to be something that we ought to relive in our hearts and our minds every day, rejoicing in our salvation. Another danger in wearing crosses is, you know, the cross has become a good luck charm. If you really get down to it, that's why most people wear them. It's a good luck charm. Well, I don't believe in luck, but if I did, it was sure bad luck for Jesus, wasn't it?
That's right. Amen. Amen.
The Bible tells us in Galatians 3, we don't have time to turn to all these, verse 13. Christ became a curse for us.
Amen.
Cursed is everyone, the Bible says, that hangs upon the tree.
Yeah.
It's not a good luck charm.
That's right. Amen.
It was a sign of an accursed thing.
Amen.
They walked by and they railed on Jesus and they blasphemed him and they spat upon him and they said, "If you are who you say you are, come on down." They saw him as a common criminal because of his hanging upon the cross. And we need to be very careful that we don't sanitize the curse away from the cross, because when Christ hung there, he became a curse for us. And you're going to heaven, Christian friend, and I'm going to heaven because your curse was lifted and it was placed upon Jesus. The cross isn't a good luck charm. It was Christ becoming the curse for you. Oh, how unworthy we are. Another danger is, I believe, that the beautifying of the cross makes it an attractive and a beautiful thing. You don't know much about your Bible if the cross is an attractive and a beautiful thing. It was an ugly thing. It would turn the stomach of the average person in this room. The brutality, the cruelty, the suffering. You ever drive down the road and see an animal that just been hit by a car? Not pretty, is it? Christ wasn't any prettier. He'd been scourged and beaten for our sins beyond recognition, the Bible indicates. And after that, since he survived, they proceeded to crucify him. Blood covered, tattered, and beaten and bruised. Not a pretty thing. Look over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice. What did he say? "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken?" Believe what you want to, but God had turned his back on his son because he couldn't look upon the filthiness, the vulgarity of the cross. Not the symbol, but Jesus dying there, being made sin for us. Such an ugly and a repulsive thing. God blackened the skies, poured out his wrath, couldn't look upon our unrighteousnesses. 1 Peter chapter 2, turn over there. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Not a pretty picture, is it? If they had been more careful, if they had been less brutal, if Christ appeared more like himself as he hung up on there, it would still be an ugly thing, because your sins and my sins were upon him. And we need to be very careful, as I said, in the sanitizing of the cross, because it wasn't an attractive thing. It wasn't a beautiful thing. Our sins were placed upon him and he died there, that we might have everlasting life. Moving along, Another danger is, I believe, the familiarity of the cross makes folks comfortable with it. There's nothing comfortable about the cross that Jesus Christ bore. And God forbid that you and I ever get comfortable with the message of Jesus Christ. We say that if we were the only one Christ died for, he still would have died. I believe that. That doesn't change what he had to do. It's not a comfortable thing. People come into the house of God and preachers preach the gospel message. People yawn. Some skip the yawning and go right to sleeping. Some so-called well-meaning Christians say, boy, doesn't he preach anything but that? We're comfortable. Tell you what, every time you contemplate the cross, you ought to remind yourself, it was my sins. My sins! He died for me. If he died for no one else, I caused that. My old wicked, depraved nature caused Jesus to go through that horrendous thing. Lost friend, if you're here and you're comfortable with the cross, you better deal with the cross, because one day you're going to be mighty uncomfortable. Because God is going to send you to an eternity in hell if you die having not dealt with the cross of Jesus Christ. And I pray that God's Spirit would work upon every lost person here so that you would see what it was really all about. And understand it was for you. We ought to be uncomfortable. The love of Christ constrains us. How did he demonstrate that love? Submitted himself to the death of the cross. Look in Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That verse is preached and preached and preached, and the implication many times is, now remember, all those people in heaven who are watching you, because all those people up in heaven are watching you, you better be a good Christian. And you ought to get the sin out of your life. They're watching you. Well, verse 2 is what it's really all about. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily besets us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. But to live godly, holy lives, not because someone up there is watching us, but because of what Jesus did to atone for our sins. Why would we want to willingly continue in sin, contemplating what it cost him there on Calvary? We're too familiar with it. I'm troubled so often with the lack of tears in our services.
Amen.
How calloused we have become. Familiar with the cross. I believe it's a brainwashing that's taken place with all this symbolism. That's not of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, anything Catholicism embraces ought to give us a significant sign that we ought to spew it out.
Amen.
Paul dealt with that in Acts 17. Let's look over there and we'll bring this to a close. Acts 17. We don't have time to read all that we should. You know the story of Mars Hill. And Paul's preaching there. Mars Hill was a place of great idolatry. They had their signs and their symbols for all their gods. Their man-made things to represent religion to them. Paul says here, again, just reading a portion of verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art in man's device. That's what these crosses all are. They're gold, they're silver, they're fine lacquered wood, they're marble, they're beautiful. Physically speaking, they're impressive. But what does verse number 29 tell us? We ought not to think that that is God, or that the cross represents Christ. These are all man-made things and God hates it. Verse 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Read the context there. Verse 25, God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Want to worship the Lord? What's John 4 tell us? You're going to do it in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Not with gold crosses, not with silver crosses, but in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Look at Romans 1. And again, there's so much here. I just want to read verse 23. That's not the verse I want. Well, let's read verse number 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's where the power is.
Amen.
We don't need evangelism explosion.
Amen.
We don't need man-made schemes.
That's right. That's right.
We don't need golden crosses or silver crosses. We need to preach the real message.
Amen.
The sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May God help us as his people. Stop sanitizing the cross and really see what happened there.
Amen.
Don't ever lose your appreciation for your salvation.
Amen.
Cost God everything.
Amen.
Lost friend, get past all the traditions. See what really happened there. God in the flesh being brutalized for sinners.
Amen.
Study this thing out. You know, I look through the New Testament and there's 28 times the word cross is found in the New Testament. Seven of those 28 times has to do with our cross of sacrifice. 25% of the references have to do with us living godly, holy lives. There's a message all in itself. Think about the cross.
Amen. Amen.